Welcome back. We trust you are getting blessed with the presence of these wonderful pastors and evangelists here. We know definitely you are getting blessed. Okay, so as Pastor Moses correcting himself, many people find fault with that. Just like he said 7 years ago, he said he was ashamed of what he was teaching 7 years ago. And now he's coming to correct himself. So I don't know what has been the effect of Pastor Moses correcting himself.
Thank you very much for that very question. You see, we must picture this very life from the point of man being man and God being God.
Amen.
Only God is infallible.
Sure.
Man remain fallible.
Only God only is God infallible. God that's a powerful statement.
Remain infallible. God remain. Man remains fallible. Being fallible means man tend to believe. For example, you believe a government will do well, and you, based on that belief, you voted the government. And for the government to come out tomorrow, it's not what you thought
that
you are seeing again. Right. But when God took the position of man, let us see the statement of God in the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, let's read verse 6 of Genesis chapter 6.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth.
Hey, this is an infallible God that created man. And when he began to see some of the activities of the man he created, taking the position of man now, he got regretted.
Amen.
That he created man. It grieved him. He got, with this statement, saying, I have made mistake.
That's
Let
right.
me correct the mistake I have made.
That's right.
So if God, who took the position of a man, could make mistake, who are we? So we're supposed to applaud Brother Moses for coming bold.
That's right.
For
Amen.
Coming back to the whole world to admit that he's a man.
Hallelujah. That he has made a mistake.
My beloved brother, the truth is just like you said, we are supposed to applaud him.
Applaud him for coming back.
We are seeing somebody that is being sincere.
Very sincere.
Very sincere.
So very sincere. I don't really understand.
Wow. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. God as man regretted making man. If God can correct himself, how much more Pastor Moses? This is a powerful statement. But sirs, we know that there are two scriptures that are pillars of the entire message. Malachi chapter 4 by 5 and 6 and Revelation 10:7.
Wow.
And Pastor Moses came and corrected that these scriptures don't have anything to do with Abraham.
No, the truth is, when you look at these scriptures very well, you know, if you are very sincere, if you are a sincere person, you will discover that what he's pointing us to is real.
I know we've spoken about Malachi chapter 4. What about Revelation 10:7?
Revelation 10:7 has nothing to do with the ministry
William Branham.
Of Brother Branham.
That
it has complete. You know, thank you, Jesus. Let me see, refer to this young man that I came across his video on YouTube. He tried to make reference to Revelation 10:7. And when I saw what he was saying, I began to thank this God. You know, to start with, even he was mixing everything up. He was trying to compare the angel in Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1 to 6 to the angel of Revelation chapter 7. These are two different events completely. And I just have to state that, you know, in case the young man comes across it. Then Revelation 10:7 has nothing to do with the ministry of Brother Branham. First, you know, we also thank God for Pastor Moses. Let's see it. Revelation 10:7.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished.
You didn't read it like Abraham.
Okay, let me read it like Abraham. The mysteries of God should be finished.
The mysteries. It's good we read it like Abraham, because even up till now, no matter how we sound it, some of them, their eyes of understanding are yet to open. They read it and they keep reading it. The mysteries of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants. Servants. The Bible said servants, the prophet. You know, but here, of course, we know the scripture said the
prophets. S is there.
Yeah. The Bible said the mystery of God should be finished. The seventh angel we are speaking of here has no link with Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Now, the perfect clue here is, when you go to verse chapter 8 of Revelation, you will discover that there were seven trumpet angels.
That's right.
These angels here is the seventh of one of the seven trumpet angels.
Amen.
And you begin to see that in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7.
The first angel sounded,
and then you keep going on and on and on and on and on. Then when you get to chapter 9.
And the fifth angel sounded.
Yes.
Chapter 9, no, verse no,
verse 13. When you go to verse 13.
And the sixth angel sounded.
When the sixth angel sounded, it is clear. I hope somebody is listening to me. This is so clear. There was a pause. After the sixth angel sounded, we didn't see where the seventh angel sounded. Then after that, other events took place. Then when you now come to Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, the scripture was now saying that, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. So the problem now is where and when did the seventh angel sound? It is in the scripture. The seventh angel sounded in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15.
And now, the seventh angel sounded.
The seventh angel sounded. And what happened? Something happened.
And there were great voices in heaven. The kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ.
And
shall reign forever and ever.
And where would that be?
In the millennium.
That's in the millennium. That's right. Now, watch this. Revelation 10:7 says, when that seventh angel will begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of God should be finished. How will the mystery of God, the mystery of how we, the wild branches, got crafted into, the original branch, and we partook of the commonwealth of Israel. The mystery of redemption, the mystery of salvation.
That's right.
It should be finished. It should be something will happen.
Amen.
It will be winding up. And when the seven angels sounded, they actually winded up and something took place. It ushered us into the millennium.
Amen.
That is it. So I don't understand.
In addition to what Pastor Zoe just said, they've had this belief that Brother Abraham is the seventh church messenger. So they are looking for things to support that ground. So that is why they've injected this office of the seventh angel and they try to harmonize it with what they believed. So if Brother Moses is saying, no, Brother Abraham is not the seventh church messenger, definitely this very Revelation 10 verse 7 also must be questioned. To which we've done. Okay, if they say he's the one who fulfilled this, what did he say? We want to know. And if he says anything, the Bible says that if we add anything to the Bible, let us be accursed. If we remove anything from the Bible, let us be accursed. So if he says anything, which means what he said is supposed to be written in the Bible, because we needed to know what the seventh angel is saying. But brother, let us be sincere. Let them read this Bible with all sincerity to see that Brother Moses is actually giving them the food in the due season that they need now in order to actually be perfected.
Wow. You know something? This young man on YouTube, I don't know why I'm missing his name. I got his link. He made a statement. Oh God. We thank God for Brother Moses. He tried to place Revelation 10 from 1 to 7 in a chronological order. And you cannot place it like that.
That's right.
And then why placing it in a chronological order, believing that verse 6, the event in verse 6 ushered us into the event in verse 7, and then so on. He said, Brother Branham, I'm revealed part of the thunders. And then New Frisbee is revealing another one. Gross error. That's what I was wondering. The only question I asked, because I actually did a video replying him, which I'm very soon you will get to see the video. I came up with a video replying that young man. Now the question I paused and I asked him, I said, please, if Abraham revealed part of the thunders, and the Bible emphatically made us to understand that John was not asked to write it, please tell us.
Exactly.
Tell us what that thunder is saying.
I want to support what you are saying. Like I said earlier, this is the teaching that opened my eyes to the further light.
This Revelation 10:7.
Yes. Where Pastor was taking at the pulpit, I was following him. The moment he was done with this, I said, I've caught it. That was when I jumped up, I've caught it. Amen. And from then, in fact, I now discover that truly I am now back to the Bible.
Hey.
Because before I was not back to the Bible.
Wow.
You see? Because I wonder, because Revelation 10:7 is not a man.
Hmm.
It's an angel. It's talking about, you know, the way you read it, Revelation 11:15, they say, and the seventh angel sounded. So it's not a man.
It has nothing to do with a physical.
It has nothing to do with a physical
celestial
man.
Celestial angels.
Mm. Do you understand? But they have idolized this man to a level that anything, whether even if the man coughed, they will find the scripture and back it up. I back it up.
Yes, sir.
It is vividly. It is so vivid.
In addition to what you say, sorry, Bro Chinedu. You see, when I was reading the book of Acts, Acts 17, when you look at verse 6 and 7, because of the statement you just made, Acts chapter 6.
17 verse 6.
17, 6 and 7.
And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come either also, whom Jason hath received, and this all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.
Okay, take this scenario. The people that drew Jason, they're supposed to be Jewish people, religious people.
That's right.
Now, when they came before the authority, they changed the story.
Yeah.
Saying that these men, they are saying that there is another Jesus outside the decree of Caesar. Yeah. Now, the William Branhamite, instead of them talking about Jesus, they are also lifting up a Caesar, just like the Jewish people did the days of the apostle, saying that Brother Moses is saying that there is a Jesus we need to follow and drop the decree of Caesar. You see? So, this is actually what happened in their day and is still playing out in our own days, where they are uplifting their own Caesar against the Bible, the Jesus Moses is preaching to them. Right. Bro, let these people be sincere and come back.
That is why I believe there is a foolish virgin in the end time message.
Mm. Certainly.
I believe that. I believe that.
Somebody made one funny statement. He said, trying to amplify Malachi 4, 5, and 6. In fact, the scripture made it emphatically that Elijah will appear. Elijah's ministry was seen there, appearing twice. Mm-hmm. You know, but this young man said it will appear to the Jews, appear to the Gentiles, appear to the Jews.
Very confused set of people.
I began to wonder. Yeah. Okay, let's look at another teaching. See, you know, suddenly I found out why, with the depth of the message that we have, some of my denominational friends, probably they don't want to have problem with me. So when we come, they don't even want me to open the scripture because they feel I will get them confused with Branham.
Mm.
And then I also discover, look at the serpent seed doctrine. Mm. We should be grateful to God that for the first time, we don't have problem opening the scriptures to tell somebody what actually happened in Eden.
Mm.
For the first time. A young man told me that they had a crusade in one village. And when they got there, one of them, if I'm not mistaken, mounted the podium, and then began to teach the villagers on what happened in Eden, the serpent seed that they fornicated. He said they escaped, they barely escaped with their lives. They barely escaped with their life. But just look at, you know, we got to understand now that, you know, the eating there, by the time Pastor brought us back to John chapter 6 and made us to understand what that eating is, you know, from there, if you pick it up from that line of thought and you keep going, you see the thing, you see it keep opening up. You see yourself getting deeper into the depth of the truth of what actually happened in Eden.
That's very true.
You know, you see that it is as a result of what they ate
that they
actually committed fornication.
That's very true.
You know, so
in line with the test of sincerity, I think let's just look at Acts of the Apostles
test of sincerity. Acts of the Apostles
18:25.
Acts of the Apostles chapter 18 verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to go into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much that believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
So I think Pastor Moses is not wrong by, you know, standing on the further light that God has given to him. You understand? He did not make him. There is another man here, Aquila and Priscilla, with the wife, that also believe in one revelation.
Apollos, the corrected Apollos. Apollos.
Yes, and Apollos was corrected, and he has to display the correction at the pulpit.
Hey.
Exactly. Because first of all, he started with Priscilla and Aquila.
Yes.
They met with Paul, and Paul gave them further light.
Further light.
So they took this further light to Apollos.
Yes.
So certainly, because Apollos after then went to Corinthians, went to Corinth. So certainly he has preached at the pulpit of the Corinth, letting them know, oh, this is the truth of what I have received from Paul. You see?
Wow, that's very beautiful. Okay, but there's something I want us to also look at. This issue of Pastor Moses coming to say that William Branham did not bring anything new.
Yes.
Yeah, so what is the effect on that? Do you agree with him, or in fact, do you even disagree?
Sir, Brother Moses is not a person that just run to the media to say certain words that he can't defend.
Amen.
That's right.
He's a man, when he gets revelation, he balances it with the scripture. He goes back and look at what he's seen before he goes to the air. So people challenging him in the air shouldn't think he's just a man that just sees a word like them and they run out. For him to have said, Brother Branham didn't come out with anything new, first of all, we have to know, what is he talking about? Every messenger that came pointed us back to the written word already. The word is settled.
Yes.
So everything they are bringing out from what the apostles have laid already.
Laid down.
So when Brother Abraham came, what he was doing, like we always say, he's tightened the knot.
That's right.
Because there are people that run with one revelation. Others ran with another revelation. The Lutherans ran with a revelation.
The Westland,
they ran with another revelation. So he came. He said, the first people that believe they judge shall live by faith, they are correct. The second people that believe that without holiness no eye shall see God, they are correct. The third people, the grace, the anointing we are seeing, he said they are correct.
That's right.
He brought all those things together for a perfect meal.
That's right.
So to him, there is nothing new he brought, rather than bringing in those things that have been existing before and present it to us as a meal. That is what we
are
saying.
Because it's time for perfection.
The perfection. Thank you, sir.
You know, God bless you, my beloved brother. God bless you. Honestly, God bless you. You know, I love the statement Pastor Smart made. He said, Pastor Moses Aldo is not the kind of person that just comes out to the media to blab. You know, like the young man yesterday in Ghana, that was rigmaroling. After when he was done rigmaroling, he ended up in shame.
Yeah.
But you are coming in contact with somebody that doesn't just come out. Have you listened to the critics? Oh my God. What Pastor Moses Aloe is even civil. He applies, you know, some caution. If you listen to the problem with some of the critics is that they are raw, they are abusive. So at times you don't get to really listen to them. But when you go down and you look at some of the claims they come up with and the things they disprove about the message, you will be shocked and amazed. It's on social media. It's everywhere. Go to, there is one of them, I've forgotten the name of this man. The man comes up with facts. So when you see Pastor Moses Aloe, just like Pastor Smart said, coming up with things on social media, you know, he's shocked. Okay. Look at the exposition of the seven seals. You know, when Pastor, for the first time, I heard it from him first, and I tried to see if I'll Google and then check out. I've not been able to completely go through the teachings of Clarence Larkins. But I had a glimpse of it and I was amazed. How I wish you can, you know, get that book. I'm waiting for the day I will read it completely. But the little glimpse I had into the teaching of Clarence Larkins on the exposition of the seven seals, you'll be amazed. So, almost word for word.
Yes, certainly.
The seven seals, almost word for word. You understand? No, so, yes, okay, Ellen G. White. When we speak of the exposition on the Antichrist, Ellen G. White broke it down. So what are we seeing?
No, Pascal throwed the challenge to him. He said, yesterday, I followed them. He said, can you just give us one thing that Brother Abraham brought that is new? And when you look at these people, honestly, we are the true followers of the ministry of Brother Abraham.
Yeah,
we are the true followers of the ministry of Brother Abraham. Why am I saying so? We are saying he's higher than the seventh messenger. And you are belittling his message. And you are fighting us that he's raising the bar of the prophet.
The prophet.
And you are fighting us. So there is nothing new the prophet brought in, rather than bringing in the old and presenting it to us as a perfect meal for the perfection of the church, for the perfecting of the church. And don't forget that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14.
Yes, sir.
There is something Paul actually told us there that we need to be very careful, especially our brethren who are the called followers of Brother Brian. Ephesians
4:14.
Please help me out.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the slay of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
So the problem now is that Brother Moses has touched some of their idols. We are not talking about Brother Abraham now. We are talking of those things they held to, they use in deceiving the people. For example, he have challenged that tithe is not supposed to be for one man. So in order for them now to fight back, they bring the prophets as their shade. He's insulting the prophet. Rather, they have the reason why. They know what he's saying is the truth. But because he now is opening the eyes of the people. My younger brother, he used to be the follower of this Nisfisbi. One time I was caught there. He said they are end-time followers. They are, when I talk Abraham one, he will quote two. I thought they were this and they invited me that I went there. When I got the capstone, I saw that this is what they believe. They believe in Nifisbi and the rest. When I began to open his eyes concerning the scriptures, the first thing he first of all questioned, why will the pastor ask us to contribute money for fuel? And when we pay tithe, the whole tithe goes into his pocket. You see? So if such a man has a platform now to fight pastor, he will present Brother Abraham that
the prophet,
pastor is insulted. They wouldn't want to mention those areas that affect them because the eyes of the people will begin to open. So they will first of all present the prophet that he's insulting the prophet, hiding behind the prophet.
This is
so
serious.
When my brother began to question, will we go and hustle, struggle, and bring tithe and everything? At the end, we'll be contributing money to do other things. Pastor, what happened to the tithe? How does it? That was where as I'm telling you now, he've left the church. My elder brother have also left the church. And so many people's eyes have been opened through the things I've been telling them.
Amen.
You see, their eyes have been opened through the things I've been telling them. So Pastor Moses, their fight back is because he is punching those areas of their core, not because of...
We'll go on a quick break and we'll come back. We still have plenty more things to say. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you very much.